I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the gods will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 778. Saltburn. I don't know.
You made a mistake.
Why'd I add another thing
I have to come up with every week?
Why would I do such a thing?
Well, we already lost the birthday songs. I mean, the show's...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You got to pick up somewhere.
What was it, birthday songs?
It was new show share.
I thought there was one where we joked about it, at least, where if it was someone's birthday, we were like, can you sing a birthday song?
You may have joked about it, and Dan's like, no.
Yeah. Hard pass. He's like, I quit the show.
And he did.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes, that's what it was. He says, I'm not making any more songs.
Ran him out of here. So I guess let's go around the table, and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Matt.
And this is Tom.
Hi. Well, that was an interesting order.
Well,
I didn't expect it.
Because you gave him an introduction, but it was out of order, so he was in the guest spot, but then you made him go in before you. So,
well, I guess I always go last, and Joe always goes first.
But
and
when we have a guest, it's last. But you made him jump in.
Last time
we did say that he had joined the Green
Jacket.
Then
he should have went first.
Nope.
Round the table.
Joe goes first. It's in his contract.
You know what? I guess I like that when I'm here, there's no real... not like, oh, he's a special thing. It's just like, I'm just like one of the guys.
That's right. You are one of the guys.
So we don't have to talk about it. We just do it. We just do whatever we do.
That's what I mean. It was a weird thing because you should have just went. Because when Paul Harris is here, you make Paul go first. But you made Joe go. Yes.
Because
he's in the rotation.
I don't remember that.
Because the rotation goes literal physical rotation. But you made him in the spot that you've never, ever introduced someone in the before you spot if they're not a current.
In my defense. I like Paul better.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care,
but I'm just like, I edit these things. I notice these things. That was a weird rotation.
You thought, though, that there were birthday songs.
that's true.
I'm an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
And that's true. And it's not by... I just have a really bad memory.
As the guy who was busted my balls not 2 days ago about my memory.
Well, I don't have that bad of a memory. Let's be clear.
That's legit. So before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. I need to stop saying Google because that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, once you get it's,
I mean, Google again, exists, but not podcasts.
Google's always going to exist.
Yeah. Yahoo Podcasts.
You know what? Sears used to think the same thing.
That's fair.
So did Woolworths
and JCPenney.
Yeah.
Just wait till Ask Jeeves comes back.
Could you imagine? Just like the
Aren't we getting to the time period
from the ashes when Ask Jeeves?
But people are nostalgic for
our Bing Hotbox.
Now,
Bing is still around, actually.
Every month or so, I cash in my Microsoft points that I get from searching on Bing, mm-hmm. and I get a $5 Amazon gift card.
And you use it.
Absolutely. It might take me two or three searches, kind of changing the words.
Is that real?
Yeah. Which part?
The gift card for using Bing?
Yeah.
I had no
idea.
That's
how they get you to actually use that Bing. Oh,
that's hilarious.
Now I'm tempted.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you get more than $5?
Oh, you can save them up.
You can get all kinds of different
But there's daily stuff. There's a daily quota where you can do like 20 a day where you're guaranteed the points. And then they're like, look at this specific article. Look at this video.
Take a survey.
But then, and after that, it's just like 1 point for every, you know, but there's like bonus
ones. I legit had no idea that was a thing.
Okay.
Well, the bad thing is, and I'll tell you, this is a little inside baseball for video game people. If you redeem an Xbox gift card with those points, it has to go to the account that did the searching. My Xbox account's a different email, so I never want to redeem the points.
Annoying.
I'm like, well, I don't play on that account. I think it's stupid they don't give you like a code
that you can just
no, they apply it to
especially
your account.
When like there's probably a lot of people even beyond a situation like that like I would do that and be like, I don't play Xbox, but I'd give it to my kids.
Yeah. Sure,
it's the dumbest thing that it's applied as a credit automatically, no code, no gift card, so that's why I don't do it.
It's not a perfect system.
No.
But Google doesn't
It's more than
nothing.
Google gives you.
Yeah.
That's true. Google gives you nothing.
Yeah. So anyway, while you're there, maybe leave us a review. That's super helpful and greatly appreciated. Our egos could always use
a little boost, a
little ginning up. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Sharers because we are hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Tom Dowdy, Matt Gonzalez, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Chris Magic Man, Chris Valls, Julian Jordan, Gabriel Lugo, Phil Timon, Heather Sachs, Taylor Ward, Brent Smith, The Kryptonian Orphan, Spoiler Piece Theater, David Rojas, Feel and Film, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Shirley Shepherd, In Session Film, Ronnie Castle, Matt Naglia, Mike and Oscar, Ryan Terry, and Colby Mack, or as I have written here, Kobe Mack. So he's like a...
No relation.
He's like a tribute to Toby Mack, Christian hip-hop superstar.
I thought he liked mac and cheese.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah.
With Kobe beef.
Oh, that sounds good.
Or Kobe cheese.
Why would you take Kobe beef and put it in mac and cheese?
I can only think of who's the guy, the Flavor Town guy.
Guy Fieri.
I was like, it's got Kobe beef.
What does
in
he
it.
Say? What's his things? Not Welcome Bam. That was Town? Emerald. No, what did he say? He's had a thing that he said. I'm pretty sure. I never watched it, but he
yum.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yo.
Tasty.
I was gonna say. I think we just invented something. Hold on. Kobe beef in a Colby mac and cheese casserole.
Do it. We'll trademark the Real Spoilers cookbook coming
Spoilers
at you in 2024.
Hey, there's a lot of celebrities that do those cookbooks.
Finally, don't forget we're available on YouTube where you can go and watch all these if you want to look at our faces.
And Matt's on here,
Matt,
so
Matt's on
look at that face.
So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
This movie's insane.
This is one of the best movies we've reviewed in a while. I'm so happy to talk about
so
a good movie.
Crazy. This movie's crazy.
It's now, not that crazy.
This is okay.
People that are
people
making
told
this out,
me it was crazy.
Right. You have not seen this. This movie is TikTok crazy. This movie is crazy for people that don't watch a lot of films.
That's fair.
If you watch like, you know, Holy Mountain or
that's crazy.
Or Trailer Town,
yeah,
or Holy Motors or any holy movies really, but
yeah.
But there's so many weird movies. This movie is so
this
tame.
Movie you
go,
can't,
go watch Antichrist.
Yeah,
and
that's
talk.
Totally
legit.
Absolutely. I was gonna say that one Lars von Trier movie. What was it called?
Any of them?
Nymphomaniac.
There are shocking things in this movie, but the people that are acting like it's so weird.
That's
have
fair.
Not seen weird.
That's
movies.
True. That's true.
That's all I gotta say.
Bookmarked web pages of the things that people say are weird in this movie.
Okay, so when I say weird,
genres of pornography that I enjoy on a daily basis,
to the point of chafing.
Sure.
When
of them
I say
you invented.
When I say weird, I mean it takes it. It starts as it feels
I,
like a.
No,
very,
you said it was crazy. I get it, but
yeah, I think what
I think there's two things at play. One is what Kevin is saying. Because it's on Amazon Prime, yeah, there's a lot of people that aren't art house aficionados,
yeah,
stumbling into this movie because like, the guy from the Euphoria is in it,
yes,
right? Although you watch Euphoria. Like
an A24 show.
Yeah.
Is that really what that is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. A24 has their hands in so many little, yeah, pies that you don't realize. Television, streaming films.
I never noticed that theatrical. Was A24 at
that's
the beginning.
Exactly. But if you think about it, the neon, the vibes of it all, it's, yeah, a very much an A24 looking
Beef
movie.
Beef is also A24.
Exactly. Yeah. Netflix Beef is A24. They have a ton of different things.
Interesting.
And they produced, they released more movies last year than Paramount released. They released
just
so
because
much
they,
stuff.
Just because they had a because
every
a
one of their movie and, cost $35.
Right, yeah. And they do a really smart thing is that you don't know about all the movies they produce. The ones that are hits and are really good, you know about. The ones that aren't get quietly released on streaming or these other places where,
sure,
they don't make you feel like, oh, they're hit or miss. Like you're just like, A24, incredible. But they're marketing and they're
interesting.
Really, yeah.
Well, anyway, so I think what's at play is, first off, a lot of people that aren't used to edgier, yeah, or more challenging cinematic fare.
And this isn't a superiority thing.
Yeah,
it's just an exposure thing.
Right,
if
right,
you haven't
for sure.
Seen,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also think because the quote-unquote crazy stuff comes pretty deep into the movie.
Yes.
So people, like, it's not like this is in the first 10 minutes. So you think you're watching this kind of, it's not true crime, but like this kind of crime thriller sort of a thing, and then all of a sudden it does this other stuff and you're like, what the holy hell is happening?
There's a turn. I do think like the first half of this movie, it feels kind of like a comedy, like a darker comedy,
like a coming of age,
yeah,
yeah,
where he's type of deal. He's trying to the way that I can't say this guy's last name, Barry,
so far so good,
Keegan like Keegan
the Joker. If anybody saw the deleted scene from the Batman.
Oh, is he the Joker?
He's
the
Joker. If you ask Thursday, who's your Joker?
So it's like Keoghan, but, you know, being Irish.
And nobody saw
like
the
a,
Eternals, so nobody cares about that.
Oh,
movie.
I saw the Eternals, and I love it. This guy
is he in that?
He's the bad guy. He's like,
oh,
he's
I blocked it out.
Isn't he one of the bad guys?
No.
Oh.
Is he allowed to be?
He's the best one, right?
Richard Madden from Game of Thrones.
That's right. Not Superman.
Yeah, this guy's good. But he's become one of my favorite actors.
He played a good guy?
What? And what?
In Eternals?
Yeah,
I didn't know he played a good guy.
I know. He's part of the team in Eternals.
He's always played creepy because he's the main guy in like Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yes.
Although he was in...
Wasn't he in Dunkirk?
Now, that's a weird move.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, though. If you see Killing of a Sacred Deer, that's also one, but not as many people saw it,
right,
so they didn't get the attention.
I think top 20 films, easy.
Of all time?
I think so. I love
it's
that
a great
movie.
I like the movie. Like, I'm
movie.
Not even interesting. Yeah, but I don't know of all
he
time.
Was
top 30. Top 30. I'll say top 30.
He was in Banshees of Inisherin last year.
He was in the donkey one.
Yeah, wait, what's number one?
He's a good kid.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay.
Which one?
I don't know.
That's hard.
I can give you a range.
I know.
Sure.
But I like that, though, because like when I say top 10 or top whatever favorite movies, I don't like to actually rank them. It's just they're in the top 10,
I have.
Right?
I have
you
five.
Might have. You might have like 50 movies in your top 30.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, I have five. Like either five.
Nobody's going to do forensic
in the top
accounting.
Five that will always be the top
but
five.
But they're interchangeable, right?
They are like, no.
Do you have a number one?
There's a number one.
Man Monster of Steel. Squad.
Back to the Future.
Oh. And then Man of Steel.
Save it for the patrons.
Yes.
Save it for the patrons.
Superman.
If you want to know.
Yeah. Is in there.
And then Age of Adeline.
Age of Adeline. Just because it did so well on
right.
Yeah.
But he's one of these up-and-coming actors that his career has just taken off. And pretty much everything he's in, he's good. And he's in a lot of really good films.
Yeah.
And I think he's great. I think he's excellent in this.
But it...
He's really good.
The first half of this does kind of feel like The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, for sure.
And it's got, like, you don't see what happens, like, in the cards at all.
That's
and
what's
then,
great, because when you finish it, you think back to what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because I thought Talented Mr. Ripley, too, but there's nothing to allude to that.
No.
You know, I mean, there's little things that you go back and can pick up on, but there's nothing in your face like this is what this guy's doing.
Right.
And then you think back, and you're like, there were all these little clues.
Well, they show them to you.
Well,
yeah, they go unusual suspects
on
you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Right, the only that's my only complaint, and it doesn't ruin the movie, but I don't like that they showed you, because I'm like, I pretty much inferred this guy is like a Black Widow. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, everything that happens.
I'm of two minds. I didn't like it getting spoon-fed, but I was also like, but they met randomly. And it's like, okay, they didn't meet randomly. Yeah, yeah. So, like, you kind of need that explanation.
That one was maybe the one that you kind of needed and then could infer the others. But, yeah. But I also was like, but then at the end of the movie, you could have discussions and go, well, do you think that meeting was planned? Like, I do think that it spurs discussion when you don't say things like that.
Right.
And you then think back and go, I bet you that wasn't circumstantial.
Right. Like, I think the end of the movie didn't ruin the movie for me, but it bummed me out that, like, there seems to the whole I'm loving it, I'm in there, I'm like, oh, this is crazy, what's going on, what's the deal? And then I feel like at
you gotta
end,
say, like, what's the deal?
I'm Seinfelding it up the whole time, and I feel like at the end it so, and maybe I'm misinterpreting, I feel like it goes so hard into here's what the deal is,
right?
Yeah.
And there's no,
instead, like, of an exposition dump, you get an explanation dump.
Yeah, and there's no.
Well, when we get there, let's talk
it.
About it, because I do want to, because I have a read on it, and I love this movie. I think this is one of the best movies of the past year.
It's really
well done. I think the writer, Emerald Fennell. I always want to say Fennel, like, it's just like
Fennel.
What's that?
Emerald Fennell.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Emerald Fennell is the writer-director. She wrote and direct Promising Young Woman.
Which is one of my favorites of the year. It was so good.
She's such a good writer. And the way she crafted this script and planted these little seeds, because the more you go back and think about this movie, there are things that it would be hard to ever pick up on, these little clues, little lines the characters say, little, you know, just little things around the film.
Yeah.
And you go back and you're like, oh my gosh, this all clicks into place. And I think, you know, like Nolan does that a lot, right? Where he's planting the things and you go back and you're like, oh, that little stuff was there. And it's a difficult thing to do and make it all come together. In a
M. Night Shyamalan.
Big way. Yeah. He's
well, like once or twice.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
that's
anyway.
All he needed to make a career, apparently.
Yeah. I'll be interested to hear when we get there, like, what your read on it was.
Well, tell me the things as we go, because
I will.
Very
okay,
good
try.
Chance.
Let's start off with the
I
plot.
I missed it
so,
all.
So the plot is we've got this character, Barry
Keoghan.
Man, that is
Oliver.
Oliver. Thank you. Not Ollie. Oliver Twist. Who
Oliver
they kept
Quick.
Oliver Quick. And I was like, God, well, okay. He is a fish out of water, right? You initially think that he is from this lower middle class family. He's very smart. He gets into Oxford. On a scholarship. And they make comments about that, about how he's kind of, he's not like the rest of, it's the kid from Gran Torino, not Turismo. What was the video game? Well, the racing movie where they play the racing game. This is the main, that Finley, or yeah. Finney is that kid.
Yeah, he's Farley.
Farley. Yeah. Farley. Oh, you'd think I'd remember that
one. Chris Farley, yeah.
But also,
Archie Madwick.
But he's British, right?
So he's half British.
No,
half...
I mean in real life.
Oh,
I'm almost positive. But then they make this kid do an American accent while they're in England. It's like, well, that okay.
But he was raised in America. That's the whole.
I know that. But it also, we talked about how with Carrie Coon, where she's got an Irish accent.
Yeah, but this is plot specific. That's the opposite. If it's plot specific, you make them do it. I'm talking about when they drop in there for no reason.
Joe keeps saying there's not enough American representation.
I do. If one more superhero gets American superhero, cast as a British actor, I swear to God.
But I mean, I get what you're saying. But yeah, it's because, so he is an outsider, but not as much of an outsider
as
Oliver.
Correct.
So his mom is like the dad's sister, or I don't
know
if it's the other way.
Is it not?
Or it's his brother.
Is it not Carey Mulligan?
No, that's a completely different thing.
I thought that was his mom.
No. And that has a lot to say about this family, like adopting people and bringing them in, but not really caring about them. And, you know, it's a class thing. I mean, this movie's Eat the Rich, you know?
Definitely.
These are people from old money, and they've got they live in a castle in this huge, beautiful place, which they filmed on set, on
scene.
That
place is crazy. I've never seen a place like
that.
Isn't
that crazy?
Like,
and it's filmed.
And you never will.
I know.
But that's the thing. So they're from old money, and the question is, like, what do these people really do, or what have they done to actually deserve this? Like, yes, someone hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and maybe they didn't even deserve
stole
it.
This from.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Like, how they get their money in probably bad ways, but it's like these people are rich and they're born into it.
They made their money fair and square by colonizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so the question is, why do these people deserve to live in this castle and all this money and never worry about working, when someone like Oliver is, you know, your common person that is struggling, and you've got these kids that are just freeloading.
Yeah, and that's what they are.
And
right?
And Farley's like on the outskirts, but still he is a half blood relation to, you know, this family. And so even though he's kind of, you know, lived in America and the mom married an American, but still he's got that half royal.
Well, he immediately couldn't wait to get back to England live this life.
Right, right.
Yeah. So Oliver is trying to, initially, this is kind of like Gone Girl as well, where you think you know these characters, right? You think you know the Ben Affleck character, or it's Rosamund Pike, actually, now that I think about it, where you think you know, and then there's the twist, right? And this movie is very similar.
Oliver twist.
Where you think you know these characters. You think you know it's Felix, who is Jacoby?
Handsome McHandsome Pants.
Yeah, right.
Jacob Elordi.
Jacob or Jacoby?
Jacob.
Okay.
His name's not Jacoby.
I'm looking at it, and my eyesight's awful, so I'm like, is that an eye? Jacob Readers? Yeah, right.
Jacoby Elordi.
Can we talk? We'll just talk on Elvis Presley again.
Yeah.
Because that seemed to work so well for us last time.
Yeah. So what did he play Elvis in?
He was Priscilla.
I didn't see it. I wasn't
here. Oh, he was Elvis
so
in
he
Priscilla.
Was Elvis in that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that garnered us all kinds of praise.
But then that's documented pedophile Elvis Presley.
That is exactly what that is.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Documented pedophile Elvis Presley.
In the Apple TV original, Masters of the Air, which there's a review by Steve Kelly on ReviewSTL.com, he is in that with Austin Butler, another Elvis.
Oh, that's weird.
Or Barry Keoghan is in Masters.
Oh.
So he's been with two Elvises now.
Yeah, one is portrayed as not a pedophile, even though he is. The other one, absolutely a pedophile.
A phoebophile, right? We should be.
What's that?
Yeah, that's right. Matt was. There's a definition.
Because it's if they're underage, but they've reached puberty.
Puberty. It's a different term.
It's not the same as being attracted to a 3-year-old.
So you're saying that Elvis is still a piece of shit?
Well, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that for some people, it's really important to make that distinction.
Oh, my God. Good for them.
The people in your comments, apparently.
That's also true. That's a fair point. So so Oliver has no friends, and he ends up making somewhat friends with this super weird guy.
The math guy,
yeah. Where he's just like, read.
It's maths. They're in England.
That's
in
how
England.
They say it.
Okay,
England,
yeah.
Right.
Whatever.
They say maths.
And I guess, right, though, maybe that's...
Ask me a sum.
Yeah, oh my God.
That's on us for thinking he's super weird. Because at the end of the day...
Yeah, in retrospect,
right.
One of them is weirder than the other.
Yes.
But they're
weird sees weird.
Yeah, that's true. That's
right. So they're at Oxford, and there's a scene with the teacher. There's a professor that talks to Farley and Oliver.
We was talking to Oliver first, because Farley's always late.
Okay.
And you get an idea of kind of how weird a little bit Oliver is and how awkward he is, because when Farley comes in, the teacher is just like, even the teacher has a weird moment where he's like, oh, are you so-and-so's mom? And he was like, yeah. He's like, but don't tell her that I said that. Like the professor's like, I went to high school with her, or college with her. He's like, oh, I'll tell you that you said hi. She's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Cause,
why?
Because, yeah, it was
what
kind of more of a fascination or whatever than a friendship.
Right.
Like, I took it as like his mother
was Felix.
Was attractive, and like every guy was leering over her. And
he was just like,
lots of people were aware of her, but they knew her. She did not know them.
Yeah.
But the point I wanted to make is that in this scene, he says, have you read some of the summer reading list? And Oliver says, yes, I've read them all.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, you're supposed to pick
that's
a few.
50 books.
The Bible was on that list. So he's lying. Like, that's our first clue.
Well,
but,
so I initially when I...
But you think he's an overachiever.
Yes.
That is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And that's why this script's so smart, because everything that presents itself like that is in two different ways. Like,
right.
You take... It's not just a fake or a cheat or... You know what I mean? Like, she...
Are we sure he's lying? Do they ever tell us he's lying?
Now that you know he's a habitual liar.
But I still took it as, like, the dude's crazy smart. Like, you can't take that away from him.
That's true.
And is this part of perhaps his turn that he's had to try so hard to do all these things, but then
Farley
comes in and hasn't done anything, and he's already the teacher's best friend?
Or is this the turn where he I think you could read it another way, where Farley coming, you know, plowing in there late and not having done the reading also kind of sets Oliver off on this. He's like, you know what? I'm going to take all of them
out. That's what I said.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
That's what I said.
But, well, I mean, like, it's he this moment, this is the moment that puts Farley and Felix in the crosshairs. Mm-hmm. Of this character.
I don't think there is a moment. I think he was always planning to do something crazy to advance himself.
To these people? Or yeah.
No, to just people.
Yeah, right. So like, he was there to do that.
And
yeah.
these people crossed his path, but I think this was always... He was always going to do this to someone. Sure.
But I think Joe is saying that was the moment he picked them to do it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's a good read. So I don't know, but I think when you go back through the movie and you see that he lies throughout the entire movie, I don't think there's any way that he could have read them all. And that was the teacher's line saying, well, the Bible's one of those. You got to read that whole thing.
Would you spend your entire summer reading the Bible?
And so I think it's a great way to go back and be like, oh, well, he was lying and then he caught him because he maybe didn't even realize the amount that you'd have to read to lie about that.
Right.
And then he's like, but what? You know, so I don't know. I like that, though. I like that there's things like that sprinkled throughout.
Sure.
So you're like, oh, Oliver's a liar, and he's been doing this the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Again, much like Gone Girl, when you get the reveal, you're like, and you go back and you look at that movie, you're just like, oh, damn it. Like, how did I not? The book was
the same
way.
That's such a good book, too.
They're both fantastic.
I think that's one of the better adaptations of a book to movie. Oh, they really nailed that.
There was no reveal for me. I've told this story before.
Oh, you have. Yeah.
Like, it was. I read the book before the movie came out, and it was like, my wife was like, this book's really good. You should read it. I'm like, okay. And I'm literally like 15 pages in, right? And I set the book down, and I said, is this a smart book? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, and fast forward like 2 minutes.
Yeah, if you haven't watched or listened to Gone Girl.
Yeah. I was like, is this a smart book or is it just a fun book? And she's like, it's both, but it's really smart. And I'm like, this bitch is crazy. and she's like, what? And I was like, I was married to a version of this. Like, this bitch is crazy. And it's like, I read the whole book knowing exactly what she was.
I'll tell you, though, when I was reading that book and you get to the scene where he opens the shed and you're like, holy shit. This is crazy.
Yeah.
That's, and then now, it's off the rails.
This isn't that exactly, but you ever, someone's telling you about a movie, and then they go, no spoilers, but the twist is crazy. Yeah. You're like, that is a spoiler.
You didn't want to know. Like, I'm the same way. It's like, I don't want to know if there's a twist, because that's the
now
fun of
it. Now you're going to spend time looking for it.
Yeah, you want to be watching and go, whoa.
Because I feel like, I try to, like, I'll watch a bad movie with a bad twist, and you'll see comments that are like, I could see the twist coming from a mile away. And I'm like, well, I guess you could have, but if you just try and like
watch the movie, you'll
still get like some out of it.
It's like when Sixth Sense came out, right? And like, and it's in its fourth week, and people are like, oh, I could see with the twist, and I'm like, because you went in, knowing you were seeing a movie with a twist. Like, I saw it opening weekend. I didn't know. I think I saw it at a screening. I didn't know that there was a twist, and so I didn't watch it trying to pick it apart.
Sure.
Just let the movie do what it was doing. You know?
I thought that was the one where you said it wasn't a twist. Aren't there people that debate that that's
absolutely a twist?
I know, but isn't there? I'm talking about like semantics. Isn't there something? I thought I was remembering where it was like that's not a twist,
it's more of a reveal
or yeah, something like that. I thought you've argued that before on this show.
No,
that it wasn't a twist, it was a reveal.
That's absolutely
because
I think the
just
Unbreakable is a reveal.
I can't do this.
Is it maybe that
this
one? It might be Unbreakable.
I consider Unbreakable a reveal and not a twist.
I agree with that.
I think that's the discussion we had, because we were talking about the, what's the sequel ones?
Split and Unbreakable.
Okay,
too,
so I'm just I was mixing those
Glass
up. But,
yeah, thank you.
Which that's a debate for another day. Go listen to that. But
yeah.
I remember there was one where I was like, that's not a twist.
No, it's not a twist. Okay. The Sixth Sense is absolutely a twist.
Right. Okay. I told you my memory's not that good.
If you can play the Saw song over it.
Oh my God. We need to make an edit of that right now. That's so good.
So there's this guy, Felix.
Yeah, Felix, who is.
Women love him, men want to be him.
I do love that this is filmed in 2008. Like, it's not
six,
but it's set in 2006, because I also had an eyebrow piercing, and I was like, oh, I remember that.
I did too, that same year.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's hilarious.
First year when I went to college, and I'm class of 2005, so in 2006 I had an eyebrow piercing, same year.
I got mine in 2001.
I did drink tub cum. So, 2006, that's what
well,
I was
no,
doing.
2005, because you're a trendsetter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right,
you were
right,
ahead of the curve.
In 2006, I was going, oh, really, guys?
Yeah. Get it together.
Out of a shower by yeah. this point.
Might they're sitting there wearing the shirt.
Might as well be wearing parachute pants, yeah. you nerd.
But so this guy, and Oliver has this fascination. The movie starts out like, did I love him? Was I in love with him
or did I just love
his
him?
His question. So we know there's something mysterious surrounding this character, but you don't know. Oliver's narrating this thing, but it's a close-up of him, and you don't see where he is or who he's talking to.
Right.
You know, I thought maybe it was like a interrogation. Like, I thought...
Right. Or he was writing. Like, we know that he's into books and stuff. So I was like, yeah. maybe he's writing... like a memoir on this sure, on sure. this week of the summer that he's because that's how this movie starts. This
hosting a podcast.
Yeah, right. It does feel like a coming of age story, and I felt yeah. like he was in the beginning when we see
you
him.
Got the coming part right.
He did. Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
I thought that he was going to be retelling like the story of this crazy family, and that's what he was doing. Yeah. But in reality, it's very different.
Yeah.
So
well, because that's the trope, right? That's,
yeah.
That's the subgenre that you're used to seeing. I mean, they even reference it when they say that, like, the books of what Evelyn Waugh or whatever are based on this family. That's the guy who wrote right. Brideshead Revisited.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
so, and he wrote all these books about, like...
how crazy this family was?
No, but super rich aristocrats mm-hmm. of old money and just, like, yeah.
Okay.
You know.
So he's infatuated from afar yeah. with these because he sees him at the bar. And then finally we see that Felix is kind of sitting on the side of the road. His bike is messed up and Oliver kind of cruises past him. And he again, the way this is filmed initially, you think he's just like, now is my chance to talk to this guy, to who I am infatuated with, and which makes sense.
And it's also great that in this scene where Oliver's like, you can ride my bike to class, and then Felix's like, oh, great, and yeah, just wheel mine back. Yeah. And like, just goes, see what this what? Family is so entitled. Like, yeah. you know, Felix could come back and get it later, but no, he expects Oliver to wheel a flat tire bike all the way. So
and doesn't even ask, like, hey, could yeah. you take yeah. my bike back? Like, exactly. he's just
assumes
like,
that he's just going to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about this family is that like they are certainly privileged and entitled, but like they're not like
bad,
awful.
No, they seem all seem.
I think
nice.
Rosamund like, Pike never does anything that
oh,
you're just like
she says
out of
some
pocket.
Pretty
she might be
horrible,
she might
like
say
worst.
Some stuff, yeah. but it's also just kind of like,
I mean, they kind of keep people as pets,
yes,
right? And then when they're bored with the pets, when they get a bunny for Easter, and now it's summertime,
right?
They just release the bunny into the wild. But at the same time, like, Felix is like, I mean, part of how Oliver pulls him in is feigning to not have money to pay for this bar tab.
Yeah.
And Felix is like, I'll help you out. Like,
yeah,
I owe you. I don't want you to be embarrassed.
But that, I think, is him trying to make up for the fact that he really does nothing.
Him who?
So, Felix.
Okay.
He really does nothing, and he's given everything. So he's like, I will help those that are lesser than me. Come live at, you know, this summer.
I think there's something to that. But yeah, I also think... that like he being Felix knows that Oliver helped him out. He doesn't want him to be embarrassed.
Sure.
And he does. So there is a level of normalcy.
But I think he does this clearly with other people because he did the same thing.
And
with
his family does it.
Yes.
But then apparently, possibly, maybe the last guy hooked up with his sister mm-hmm. and he got mad at him and didn't want to be his friend anymore.
Yeah.
But so we don't necessarily know that he does this
like
all the
it's,
time.
He's kind of like a version of the people that like the evangelicals that like go to Haiti and then they post all these pictures of them holding babies.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is a commentary on
this. He's helping, but he's also not showy. Like he's not telling his friends he's yeah. paying for this bar tab.
Right.
He's just helping this dude out. But there's also this is where the privilege aspect comes in, that there's also he expects you to be appreciative and know your place.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Like, you're not going to hook up with my sister if I don't want you to. You're not going to...
Well, that's a pretty normal...
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think
I don't think rich people invented the don't fuck my sister rule.
Okay, we're getting away from the point. My thing is, like what Tom said, there's rules. If you cross them, you're out and you're going home. I just mean that...
And those rules aren't clear.
Yes.
Like, those rules aren't spelled out.
You don't know
them. It's whatever Felix feels.
You are expected to know where those boundaries are.
Correct.
No one will ever tell you that they're there, or what they might conceivably be.
We see that with Carey Mulligan.
Right.
Where
I didn't know that was Carey Mulligan right away.
Oh,
I
know.
Just didn't realize
that
was
I love Carey Mulligan, so I knew immediately.
It just seemed like such a I mean, I know she was in the last film, which was excellent, and so I, you know, it makes sense to use her, but it's such a throwaway, literally a throwaway part.
Yeah.
That I was like,
and what was she just in where she's totally different?
Maestro.
Dario, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the
who's Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah, but who directed that?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, just ask him.
He'll tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, he got nominated. He got his nomination.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
That movie was bad.
Bad or just meh or boring?
I did not like it at all.
Okay.
I thought it was
I could
bad.
Never watch a biopic.
The older
again.
I get, the more I'm just like, I dread biopics.
What was the one that finally like kicked the bucket for you?
I was out on them, and then I watched Elvis for this. and I went,
wait to the Michael Jackson one. Wait till they gloss over
everything. I would love to see
it's his
how
nephew,
they do that.
I think his nephew's playing him.
I like biopics when it's like a sliver of time. Like, right? Like, I don't want to see their whole life.
I guess if there's a genre?
Yeah. You just can't do it well. Like, a whole life in 2 hours is really hard.
It's a focus.
And it's the same story. Like, no matter what.
You grow up. Like, of course, you're going to have some kind of adversity or else it's a boring story. And then,
I think the last biopic I liked, and it really wasn't of a person, but was Straight Outta Compton. That was really good.
Rocket Man was one of my favorites.
And that's like a different type of thing. Like, anyway.
So I was going to say, whatever John Mulaney hosted, I don't know if it was Governor Awards or whatever, Emmys was horrible, and then John Mulaney came in. The thing he says about Maestro, did you see this? Where he's like, Bradley Cooper studied for 6 years to learn how to conduct like Leonard Bernstein. He goes, you could have just done this and we would have never known the difference. But it was
That's one of my complaints about the movie is like, I understand nothing about why a conductor matters.
Nope.
And I watched 2.5 hours of that movie and I still don't. Like, they just kept telling me he was brilliant and I'm like, you don't look any different than Bugs Bunny doing it. Like, I don't understand.
So good. Dun, 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 dun.
Can you make me
Mel Blanc studied for
but I'm like, make me understand why this matters.
Why this is important.
Because I don't get it. Shouldn't the orchestra know what to play by now?
That's how I feel.
Van Halen's really good. They don't need anybody standing in front of them waving a stick.
Nope. But that's how I always felt when what was the Jake Gyllenhaal, is it Rene Russo, where they're the art people?
Yeah.
Where I was like, nope.
Velvet Buzzsaw?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Look at you. Look,
well, that's good. But I never saw it.
That's all we have in the
But like that, when they're talking about the art world, and I'm just like, man, I don't know. I don't get it.
So Felix has decided to kind of adopt Oliver. He makes him his next project.
Yeah.
He's helping him out, and obviously we see that Oliver's super infatuated with him, and, you know, in like a, it seems to be a sexual way, but I think by the end you kind of find out that he's really in love with his money and his power.
Yeah,
but
they play up, the movie initially plays up the idea that he is in love with
him.
But I don't think that, the way I look at this movie after everything happens, I don't think that Oliver is gay or straight or even, I think he's like,
I think he's a chameleon.
I think he's
asexual, what he needs to
where
do.
He
yes.
just is, he will adapt to whatever he
you
needs
to. You see
it
with Venetia. That's what's great because you're thinking like, isn't he in love with Felix and he's gay or whatever, but then he does what he needs to do with Venetia. And it's like, but look at that. He just does it.
Okay. Now I haven't watched the movie again. You know, to like, because you watch a movie, you see the end, and then you maybe forgot some things. Yeah. But I'm having a thing where I feel like the end makes parts not matter or make sense. Why does he drink the cum?
I think that he's okay. So again, the movie starts
if he
off.
Now
if
you're
he,
now you're asking the right questions.
The movie starts off.
I know
like,
I drink cum.
Some people look at
okay
cum tubs and say why. I look at cum tubs and say
yes,
why not?
Okay, so what I think is really cool and clever about this movie too is it's a vampire movie. He is draining the blood. He is sucking the blood of this family one by one. And although the bathtub thing isn't blood, but he literally does this with Venetia, and you get the imagery.
Life force.
But it's, yes, it's he just
also
bathed.
Also, great movie by Toby Hooper.
But he just bathed in his bathtub, and yes, he did get off in the bathtub. But I do feel that he is trying to soak up and drink up the power, the wealth. The
I gotta
being.
Tell you.
Okay.
And so it's not a sexual thing. It's a weird.
And Matt can probably attest to this. Yeah. I have seen some of the like goriest things you'll ever see in film, and it doesn't affect me. This the bathtub scene got to a moment where I was like, this is fucking gross.
But it's not even
it's not the
gross.
It's, not,
it's like bathwater.
Are you saying that someone would jack off in a tub and just do it in there and then get up out of the cum water and just go?
Yeah, the gross thing is he was taking a bath in his own cum water.
Yeah, that's also true. But it's not the cum soup. It's not the cum water. It's the way that this is shot.
Here's what it is. It's the slurping.
It absolutely is the slurping.
I don't care if it's soup.
Nope.
I don't want to hear you
no,
slurp.
It's so gross.
A good clam chowder? I don't want
to
hear it.
Don't need to hear it.
It's the sound of an octopus, the Foley artist used.
Is that really what it is?
To give that tentacles sliding around.
It was
but
gross.
It's meant to be disconcerting. It's a close-up. We're way into it, but he's a close-up of Oliver in the bathtub, like right up on his face, and he's licking, like rimming the drain. You know,
he was rimming that drain, all right.
But it's not gross. No, okay, if people said this scene's so weird and gross, and you saw him licking up mounds of cum, that would be what I think is weird and gross. He's just like licking a bathtub that you know the guy was in. You don't see the actual.
These are
gross
rich people. This is a clean bathtub.
That's true,
right?
That's
this bathtub's getting cleaned all the time
cum.
By professionals.
I don't think that you
I don't
do.
Actually.
They taught. I just read an article about what they made the cum with, and it was like yogurt and stuff. So I think you're supposed to
maybe.
I know what you're saying.
It's just not as weird as a movie where they in your face. Antichrist is a good.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah
just not that weird.
Green Knight.
I've never cum seen Solo. It's apparently bad.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I think is so funny is people.
Green Knight.
People talk about this movie and they'll be like, "Oh, that scene, that one scene was so gross." They won't say. They'll just say that one scene was so gross.
Yeah,
and they all mean this.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm like, this dude fucked a grave,
right?
And he ate out a woman on her period.
Okay, there
are you.
Are
you saying you wouldn't?
Yeah.
Are you telling? Are you telling me you don't have your wings?
I don't.
Mm. Oh,
wow.
But
okay.
I also think there's a difference between doing it accidentally and doing it purposely.
I should say too. I do appreciate scenes like this being in an Amazon Prime.
That is legit.
I don't mean to say this isn't weird at all. What a dumb, boring movie. People hyped me up in a way that it didn't quite reach that. But this kind of stuff. Being in an Amazon Prime movie,
yes,
wonderful.
This is great. It's getting this exposure.
If you're going to see bands like Cannibal Corpse and Dimmu Borgir and Cradle of Filth, and then somebody hypes you up for this really heavy band, and they take you to see AC/DC,
right?
You're gonna be like, I mean, it's good.
Yeah,
it's got hooks a mile wide. I mean, I dig it, but like, I wouldn't call it heavy.
Yes.
No, right? Yeah, I mean, there's no downplaying that this movie isn't like artsy or a little bit different or whatever. It is, but it's just the hype. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to put it. People that are seeing this movie in the mainstream because of TikTok have not watched those other films we mentioned. And it's not an elitist thing. We're not, but it's just
it's
like
the accessibility.
If you haven't seen as many movies, then you're not going to know what
also,
to compare it to.
I think the TikTok generation, because of the reactions that this has been getting on TikTok, where you don't see the scenes, you just see people reacting to it. And I think the fact that TikTok is now where things get hyped up.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, you know, you
for think, the under 30 set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that, and the fact that this is readily available on Amazon Prime, mm-hmm, you don't have to go to an art house theater to see it. It's literally one click away. Do think.
Gotta click a couple times.
That's fair. I'm sorry.
And a login.
Yeah.
You gotta remember.
You gotta like
and
click
you gotta
once.
Pay
and
the
clicks
bill. You gotta make sure the bill's paid. Auto pays on.
That's fair. It's TikTok. Their parents paid the bill.
Yeah, that's also correct.
There's something about Mary that has on screen cum.
It does. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging just making a list.
Yeah. I think you see way more of it in that.
Oh, you see it like in that one. It's a thing on his ear.
Yeah.
But it's like comical.
It is.
It's not like.
Yeah, but they cut out the scene where Ben Stiller went up and just ate it.
Yeah. Started licking Cameron Diaz's hair. I guess.
All right. Now we're 40 minutes in and haven't gotten to Saltburn. So I'm just saying.
Felix invites Oliver to come to Saltburn.
Which is the estate, is that what you
yeah.
call it?
Yes, of, yeah. And we're introduced to his very vampire-like butler, who played a vampire serial killer on Luther, which
go.
Was great.
But yeah, that's the point, sorry, I wanted to make real quick, because this whole movie is a vampire movie, and I think it's really great the way that it's hidden in there. And the only reason, because even though there are quote-unquote weird things, this movie doesn't do anything supernatural or anything that is otherworldly.
No, there's so no, the there's only no way horror to, element.
So the only way to get the imagery of him being a vampire and drinking the blood, I mean, that's a natural, organic way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, hats off to them for presenting it that way.
So we're introduced to the mom, which is Rosamund Pike. We're introduced to the dad. And the dad, I do like the dad, is just completely clueless, like, as to everything
that's
in
Richard
life.
E. Grant.
Yes.
He's great.
In this or
in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Felix and Farley are both there. And we've seen Farley kind of circling Felix throughout this entire thing.
Farley and, start.
Is that okay?
And Oliver quick start.
Oh, interesting. So like Oliver's just trying to get it. You think he's just trying to get his bearings, and he's a little weird. And he says, the dad says something about a book, and Oliver like recites something back. And again, to the point where we saw earlier, where we think he's this well-read guy. You're just like, oh, well. This is a very good way for him to indoctrinate himself into this family.
But you're supposed to take it is that he's maybe this genius or he is a well-read, reads everything. But no, he's doing his homework.
Right.
That is the difference. And that's where I think, like, back to the book list thing. It's like he will do what he needs to do to get the job done. Like you said, he's willing to be with anyone, do whatever he has to do. So he's not well-read. He's studied up. He knows everything about this family, what they would be collecting. He probably goes to the Sotheby website or whatever. You know, he reads what art pieces have they collected, whatever.
Right.
So he knows about, oh yeah, that's that bull, that ancient bull, whatever. I love whatever. And they're all looking like, how would you know that?
And he's like, we get a little flashback of him doing some research.
Yeah.
So there, Oliver starts to, you think he's starting to become more comfortable around these people. His style of dress has changed. He's now wearing like form-fitting t-shirts. It's also, there's a scene where they are sunbathing out in this field, they being Venetia, Farley, and Felix, and the rule is like there's no clothes, like you got to do it butt naked. And when I say that there was like elements of comedy in this is a joke that I saw coming.
Oh, they were going to take his clothes and run
away
or something?
No, but that he was going to have a massive... Like, that's where I thought this was going to go.
That's later.
No, that's where they're sunbathing. And
you see it later.
Yeah, you see it later. Like, good for him, by the way.
Yeah.
He takes his trunks off, and Farley's like, congratulations.
Well done.
Congratulations. Yeah. And I was like, that's a funny joke.
Yeah.
Oliver has pretty much ingrained himself into this family. And it starts with Venetia, who is a very attractive woman. Rosamund Pike alludes that she has a binge and a purge.
Mm-hmm. She's got an eating
disorder. And Oliver zeroes in on it. Oliver sees her, and she's definitely flirting with him, which I think is interesting because I guess he doesn't.
I think she's doing it to start stuff because she knows that the brother brought this other guy, and he kicked him out, and now she's like, yeah, I think she's...
I think that's probably...
I think this whole family is just... They are bad. They're not bad in a way that they go out and they kick puppies and murder people, but they're awful in a rich, elitist type of way, and they play with people, and they throw them away. They're disposable. I think that, you know, they just...
But I'm of two minds of that, because those people also are more than willing to come and live off of them.
Correct.
Right?
Oh,
and
sure.
So it's like... It's also hard to be super sympathetic for these people, because... They're down with it.
Yeah. No, it's not that part, but it's the part that they'll kick him to the curb. Like, you've now given them this thing and you did help them, but when you take that away from someone, that's hard because now you've gotten a taste of it.
Yes.
And you've been helped, or you now like, oh, this is how life could be.
But now you kind of sound like Ayn Rand, where you're just like, so never help anybody because...
And you never know their motives.
And Farley apparently... Wait, Farley?
Yeah.
They think he stole stuff.
They allude that Farley has stolen something.
And did he or?
No.
No, it was a setup because they show you he went on the email. He hacked his email with a thumbprint and then did it. But no, but I mean, help him. There's a difference between helping someone. I mean, you hear this all the time. Like, you know, teach a man to fish. Don't give him a fish. It's they're helping people, but they're not really helping them. They're right. doing this to feel superior, to, oh, we help people, we're charitable. But when you kick them to the curb and, oh, they talk to me, you know, they're just getting on my nerves.
Well, well, and they're so, you, like, the things they say to make themselves feel better about it, Rosamund Pike, when the Carey Mulligan character is like,
gone,
I'm going to get a... she's like, oh, you'll like your flat. Well, it's really more just one room. That's so freeing.
Yeah.
You don't have to clean it.
Yes. Like, that's, it's, yes. Yeah. But that's, but to the Carey Mulligan character, we see her for a little bit and then they kind of kick her to the curb.
Yeah.
And
you can see that Elsbeth is getting sick of her. The,
yeah.
And here's the thing.
Well,
about
and her. I always take it is not only are they getting sick of her, but they've got a new pet.
Yes.
That, they've in got Oliver. Oliver now.
Yes.
But yeah, they're not bored anymore. They were bored with her.
Right.
And now they've got, yeah. And Elsbeth, she's so superficial.
Mm-hmm.
She, all she cares about is beauty. So she doesn't allow the men to have beards. They have to be all clean shaven.
Yeah.
When they say we're bringing this person from lower class to stay, she looks at him and goes, you have the most beautiful eyes. Oh, you're, you know, you're handsome. And they made it sound like whatever, like she was interested because he wasn't.
Yeah. As soon as he walks in, as soon as she sees him for the first time, she's like, holy shit.
And I think that's another clue or a little foreshadowing that this kid isn't from lower class. And I'm not saying that her view of the world is right or that it's always correct, but also, you know, she seems to be able to tell if you're lower class and he's handsome. He's not.
Right.
But it's like, okay, he's not really lower class. I think that's another writing hint.
Yeah, we should say that earlier in the movie, we think Oliver gets a phone call. He gives Felix this whole story about his parents, how his dad was a drug addict or an addict of whatever, and he grew up, you know, in, not in squalor, but in lower class.
Oh, that's how he gets him to bring him to Saltburn.
Yeah.
His dad just died, and he doesn't want to be alone during holiday.
Right. So now they're all here, and we get this scene with Venetia where she's kind of strutting around outside Oliver's window in a see-through nightgown. Oliver comes down and basically, like, dominates her, and not in a, like, aggressive way, but, like, uses a dominating words and says you're gonna,
she's into it.
It's a sex game.
It's a sex game, right, big time. Where he's like, you're gonna eat what I put in front of you. You're not going to get up from the table. You're going to eat everything, and then I'm going to eat. And he does.
And this is one of the first clues that you see that Oliver isn't.
This was the
meek.
This
in
was
the
point where this is the shed in Gone Girl, where I was like, oh,
so
you're
I
not
think one of my
timid
problems with this plan of his is that it all seems to hinge on the premise that everybody wants to f*** him.
Hey, he's got a big
f***.
And I just don't
so
think
here's
that,
the
that would necessarily be true.
And
I think that it is true.
Yeah. I think he's got this weird commanding power. I mean, sure, it could not be, but I think in this case, it's like Farley sees he's got the big wiener.
Uh-huh.
And the two women are into him, clearly. I mean, the dad is the only one that...
kind of oblivious.
But he's also kind of... he's got money, and that's about it, right? He's not really that commanding or, like, intimidating. Or,
no.
You know, it's like, he's just like, how much money can I give you? That's his solution.
Yeah, how much is it
going to
take for you to get away from me?
Yeah.
Now, he didn't... how'd the dad die?
That's the only one that I was kind of curious.
I mean, did he do? I think...
He just died. Right?
No,
did he kill
I think he had. I think Oliver had something to do with it, but
I think he had to.
Nobody says what it is. We just know he sees it in the paper.
I wonder if there's a clue in that paper of how he died, because if he had a hand in everybody's death,
well,
spoilers,
yeah,
then that would be kind of weird to leave that one to.
Because I'm saying, like, if he didn't do something to the dad, which then kind of my problem is now you've killed four. It just gets like crazier and crazier, which is fun, but that's crazy if he killed four people in the same family. Nobody ever.
Well, that
Farley's not out there going like,
well, they kicked they kicked him to the curb.
I know,
but
he can come in and be
family.
Like, hey,
be
this
like,
guy. Yeah,
but then it's
also like the plan took place over 15 years,
right? Yeah. And then it's because it's also a weird, far fetched thing to be like, I have this plan. I'm going to kill these two people, and then I'll wait for the dad to die, and then I'll hook up with the mom. Maybe his plan stopped, and then the dad died, and he thought...
That's
like,
how I took it, is that he did his thing, and then killed...
and got his money.
And then left, and then and now it's 15 years later, and he sees the article in the paper, and he goes and finds her, because he's like I don't know that his plans are always fully formed.
Okay.
And that he's... but he's like...
that's
it's like
good
well,
call.
And then
it's
I'll
like
say,
jazz. You like, know, he knows the notes, but he doesn't always know where it's going to end.
Then the thing about the movie, like, sort of a—I feel like I talk about it all the time. every time I'm here, and I don't think about it that much, but like sort of the language of film. But the way that it goes back and says, look, he popped the tire. He did this. He did this.
Yeah.
That's the movie telling us he set it all up.
Right.
But then if he didn't, that's weird.
That's why.
I just feel like the ending. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something.
Well, yeah, because it's like if he set it all up like they show you. I mean, I believe that they're right. But then was his plan like, oh, and then when I'm 35,
right,
I'll move in on the mom to swoop in.
But I think you're right though. He already
is 15 years old. That's
because it's 2006, and in that coffee shop, they're wearing masks, so you have to assume it's
okay.
COVID.
Okay. Oh, sure.
Gotcha.
So, okay. But I like what you said earlier. I think that is the way I interpret it, was his plan, he did it. He got his money. He got to be wealthy and make something of himself with the money, and then when this other opportunity presented itself, he's like, I want to get back to Saltburn. I've always would love to have returned there. And
we should say that, so he has this moment with Venetia, and she is into it. She is down with it because he is taking control, and it's so the next day, like she's eating a bowl of ice cream, and then he just like pushes a croissant in front of her, and she eats that too. And there's a moment where I feel like the veil kind of comes off Oliver for a second, and she gets up and walks away. Yeah. And we're just like, well, we know where she's going.
I think she, yeah. I think it was just like too much where she just couldn't do it.
That's probably true. Yeah. And Felix at this point is a little standoffish, and we find out that Farley, realizing that his spot in this group is slowly starting to slip away, throws Oliver under the bus because he tells Felix, hey man, I saw him outside of, you know, going down on her. And Felix is like, Oliver kind of comes to Felix all timid and mild, and is just like, what's the matter, buddy? Like, what's wrong? He's like, dude, you fucked my sister. And he's like, no, I didn't. Like, no, I felt
just hand stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, she tried to kiss me and I turned away.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, Farley,
I didn't want to embarrass her, and I didn't want to embarrass you. And then he's like, why would you believe anything Farley says?
So he's turning Felix Farley now.
Right. And then we get the reveal that the family thinks that Farley has stolen something, and they kick him out of Saltburn.
This is after you left out that he seduces Farley too.
That's true. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And
that's where
I'm just like, I don't think everybody wants to have sex with this guy. Like, I don't get it.
But they do in this story. Like, you can't take this movie literally because it's an Eat the Rich allegory. And that's the thing with art house films. You can't pick apart every single plot point. I mean, you can, but that's not what the movie is meant to do. It's trying to present this.
Well, I also think, I think Oliver, like we talked about, will morph into whatever role he needs to get what he wants. And I think with Farley, he morphs into whatever he needs to, and Farley is definitely into it.
I think that's why he does in this, because that's what Farley wants. He noticed he mentioned his unit was big. Like, right.
Old Barry, you know, such an interesting looking guy. Mm-hmm.
True.
And he does start the movie, I think, acting in a way where you're like, this guy's kind of gross, kind of ugly dude. And then in the middle of the movie,
he let his hair down.
Kind of
he takes his glass off. He's wearing,
but truly, it doesn't, right? I mean, he wears better clothes, but like he's just kind of more confident.
He carries himself.
He is good at that,
and that's what we talk.
But I'm kind of with you, Tom. I want to fuck him, but I don't know if everybody does.
But I see what you're saying. But also, in a movie like this, you can't
all it takes for his plan to fall apart is for somebody to be like,
no, thank you.
Like, oh, you're not really my jam.
Then he would find another way. He went and he found their Achilles heel. He found the thing for each person, and that's the kind of con artist he is. So he wouldn't have done it if that wouldn't have worked. But for this family,
that's what's less fun about it, though, that sex with them is all of their Achilles heel,
right? Like, it was true. Nice to see him have to come at him a different angle.
Well, he does kind of do that with Oliver, with Felix, though. Like, Felix has no interest in him,
right?
So he finds other ways to be. He realizes that Felix doesn't want to fuck him.
Yeah.
So he becomes like the lost puppy.
Sure.
And he morphs that way. Right. Yeah. And
I do like that, though, that he does like sexually take from all of them, even Felix, in a sneakier way.
And that's what I'm saying. He's a vampire, but it's not necessarily blood. It's metaphorically draining their blood. But then also he uses sex as the thing that he steals from them. Like it's I think it's just a different way of looking at that vampire allegory.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And now Felix starts to turn on him. He's just like, man, oh, this is well, okay. this scene. So we think this entire time that Oliver has no family. He's estranged from his mother.
Yeah, right.
His dad is dead. He has no siblings.
Felix's family does a thing where you write the name of the person that dies on a stone, you throw it in the river. Oliver writes his dad's name on a stone, throws it,
okay.
And it doesn't land in the water.
It lands off to the side. So this is what I thought was initially when I watched it, I was like, that's a good comedy bit where like this guy is such a loser that he can't even, well, that doesn't bode
That's
well.
That dual meaning we talked about. You see it as comedy because like this guy.
Initially, right?
I know, but now you think about it.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, so, a lesser movie would have like winked at you with that and been like, something's coming.
And we talk about movies like Self-Reliance and we talk about the writing. Though, yeah. Right? This is what I'm saying. And I like Jake Johnson. I'm not trying to get back into
Johnson.
It. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Him too. But it's like, this is the thing. When you write a movie and it has this much depth to it and meaning and symbolism and, you know, it's just a different thing. And
I think you also have to give a little bit of leeway.
Okay.
Because he had never written or directed anything before.
Yes, he's written lots of things.
But he had never directed anything before.
I don't know.
So, and
Admiral Fennell direct anything before Promising Young Woman, which was deep and meaningful? And
I don't know.
That was her first feature film I know.
Yeah,
But why did she get to do it on her first?
I don't know.
I get it. I don't have as much leeway. But I'm saying the writing in this
Heather
one.
Heather Sachs backed me up. Thank you very much.
It's fine. It's fine. If you enjoy it, it's fine. But I just meant from my, we see this movie and it's writing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what I'm looking for.
That's fair. Yeah, so again, what we talk about how Felix isn't, you know, he's not a bad guy. Because he's like, look, I saw that your mom had called your phone and, you know, so they get in the car and they're driving. He's like, it's just for your birthday. Like, we're just going to drive. And he starts driving. And there's a moment where
he sees road signs.
Oliver realizes where they're going. And so they get to Oliver's hometown. They go to Oliver's house and he says,
let me go in alone.
But it's not like it's dilapidated squalor. It's this very nice,
solid, I would say probably upper middle class home.
Yeah. And they knock on the door and there is. And again, like even the way the mom plays it initially, you're like, okay, I haven't talked to you. You've been kind of, I'm so glad you're home. Let me get your dad. And Felix is like, I'm sorry, what? And she's like, yeah, he's just out in the back. And even the parents, like as they're sitting down, and I do like the way Oliver Barry, whatever his name is sitting. Like it's even the most awkward way to be sitting because like he's got his legs very like pressed together and he's hunched over.
Has to, or else his, you know, be flat.
That's true. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you, though, that's not comfortable to sit like if you have a giant wiener. That can't be comfortable.
Wouldn't know.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
No. Can't relate. No. I can sit however I want.
But like, so he's got, it's very awkward looking. He's.
Yeah.
Well, because he doesn't, like, this guy, like, as you said, as Kevin's, he's a chameleon.
Right.
And they just set him on a pair of plaid pants. He doesn't know what to do.
That's great.
Because
that was a good reference.
Thank you. Yeah. He's like, all he does is reflect back what he thinks you want him to be. And now he's in a situation where he has to be two things at once.
He's completely exposed.
And if you'll notice, there are multiple shots in this movie where you see him reflected back at himself in multiple times. Like
different mirrors?
Yeah, like the either mirrors or reflected in water or the way that they, like, you know, it has a very kind of artsy look to it. The way they'll crop the shot, like you'll see three of him. Like you see multiples of him on screen numerous times throughout the film.
That's true.
And this movie's shot in 4:3.
Which I don't know why.
So it's because, and Emerald Fennell said, it's
she
that
loves the Justice League.
You're supposed to be like, you're,
it's going to be a black and white version. And Snyder will do his own cut.
So this whole movie is filmed in a very voyeuristic way.
Yeah.
Of Ollie being the voyeur looking onto this family. And we're not supposed to feel like we're there with the family experiencing what they're experiencing, we're supposed to be a voyeur watching this thing go down.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of like he feels that he's watching them.
You guys got to watch The Curse. You just got to.
What's the Curse? Oh, I want to.
Is that the Showtime
Nathan Fillion, Emma Stone.
I haven't started it yet.
Yeah.
That's the Emma Stone one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really want to watch it. I'm going to.
Is it similar?
Don't spoil it.
Watching The Curse and watching this, they have similarities that I think I'm thinking about The Curse constantly.
Okay.
I can't stop thinking about it.
I love Nathan Fielder.
What does that mean? What does this mean? And I wanted this movie to do that. And I don't know. It
is it done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's on Paramount Plus.
Look.
There are
things where people say, oh, don't look up anything. Don't look up anything. Yeah.
I think I saw the initial trailer.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Don't tell me, because I love Nathan Fielder and I want to watch this. So
that's how I felt about Yellow Jackets. I avoided everything.
And old Benny, the Safdie brothers.
Yeah,
it's got all that, like, you're just watching it going, ooh.
Yeah, love it. I love it.
That's so good. So
I'm sorry, whatever.
So they're at the house, and so now it's like, well, the jig's up. Felix is on to him, and he doesn't know what to do. He's like, oh, I'm gonna be sick, and he's like. And Felix's like, no, we can stay for lunch. Like, he's now in control.
Oh, he's pissed.
He's like,
yeah.
Yeah. And so the ride home's very quiet.
And he's just like, I just wanted to be your friend. I wanted to get into your group. He was like, look, my mother has worked very hard to plan this birthday party for you. But after the party, you're gone.
We should mention that, like, this family, again, they're rich. They have money. They don't know what to do with themselves. Like, so they're looking for any excuse for social events, have a party. So they decide to have a huge 200-person birthday party that they know Oliver doesn't have anyone to invite.
Right.
You can invite 200 people.
Yeah.
And the dad's like, I can wear my suit of armor. Which is just so ridiculous. Like, this is how wealthy and ridiculous these people are.
Yeah.
And it's themed to A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the party goes off, and
we won't say without a hitch.
Definitely has a hitch.
There are multiple hitches.
So we see that now Farley is back, and he was just like, of course I'm back. Like, of course I'm back, you know, in with this family, yada, yada, yada.
And some really good writing where he's just like, they're going to be mad when they see you back. And they're like, I don't think so. They invited me.
Right.
And he's like, this is my home.
I'm always coming back.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting way where he's basically saying, once you're gone, Oliver.
I'll still be here.
Yeah.
So we see that Oliver finds Felix and he's doing, you know, rails of coke. And these people are like, who is this guy? He's like, I don't know. Like, just some weirdo. And then we see that, again, in the initial viewing, you think a drunken Oliver is following Felix through the maze. And I do low-key kind of like that the Minotaur is at the center of the maze. I was like, oh, that was a good little...
And I do like that at this point in time, they meet at the center of the maze. Oliver has gotten to the end of the maze.
Correct.
Because this event sets...
This is the end of
sets
it.
Sets him up, you
this
know?
This is it.
It's cool, yeah.
So they have this... back and forth. It's not anything crazy. It's just like it's two former friends who are mad at each other.
But I think Oliver kind of professes his love to Felix at this point. What he's trying to present. I don't believe that he necessarily means
I think he's trying to, like, garner favor again. He's trying to find the way back in. And when he realizes that he can't, something happens. And we don't know what happens initially. We've cut back to... a bathroom that is completely destroyed.
Well, we talked about
you think
that.
He decided in the maze to do it?
I think when he realized that the relationship between Felix
this life
and Oliver
was about to be taken away from him. And so Felix is now he keeps removing obstacles to him and Saltburn.
Right.
And so
now Farley's back in the game.
Mm-hmm. Felix has basically said, when this party's over, you're out of here.
Yeah.
And so in order to stop that, he's got to take out Felix.
Because he knows
the wine is already
poisoned.
I think he poisons it
as he's walking
with what?
Drunkenly to the thing.
But with what?
With drugs.
He's got there's a scene where spoilers. We see him pour something into the
water. I think, like, it's drugs. I think he overdosed.
Yeah. Because you can't
put it. Because he blames on Farley, because that's why later says, I saw Farley with coke, and that is basically, I think, what to presume that killed.
So
Felix,
I think he has the bottle of the poisoned wine ready to go in case it doesn't go the way.
He can't change his mind.
So we hear everybody screaming. Oh, they can't find Felix. So everybody's like in the pond looking for him. Finally, we hear Rosamund Pike scream. We find the body. There's a funeral.
But I love how also like how numb everybody plays this. Like the dad comes up.
Not everybody, like, because Farley's not okay. Venetia's not okay.
But the parents.
But it's variations on numb. Yes. Like they're trying to be numb and the kids and they're failing.
This is a very dark comedic scene where the butler's like, hey, we need the coroner's coming by and they're going to wheel Felix's body. He's like, close the blinds. And the butler can't like get the blinds over and everybody's freaking. But then it's the whole scene is like filmed in this red hue.
When he finally gets the curtains down, they're red. So it tints the
room. It's a very like interesting. Blood. Yeah.
But also to think about how they're handling this, Felix has just died and the family is like, well, we eat breakfast every day at routine. How out of touch do you have to be where the death of your son doesn't interrupt breakfast plans?
And then they eat, you know.
But it's like, so they make the kids all sit there, which it would be perfectly normal to have everybody grieving and not doing the routine. They could even sit around the fireplace.
And I do like this scene with Oliver as well, where again, before we get the reveal, you think he's just trying to appease the mom, Rosamund Pike, where he's like, this pie is really good and
he'll play along.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I do like that Farley's like, why are you still here? Does anybody else not find this weird? And even at this point, Venetia's like, it was a little weird. But the mom is like completely oblivious and the dad is completely oblivious.
And we didn't mention he switches character and seduces the mom or tries to for a second.
No, he's got her. He's absolutely got her, but he doesn't pull the trigger.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he kind of flips back to normality. But for a second there, he breaks the Oliver character where you're like, this guy is like got confidence that he's got game. You know, he's saying, you're so beautiful.
I got to tell you, I would have gone with Rosamund Pike too. Like if those are my options, I'm going there. So then he's talking to Venetia's in this bathtub and they're having a conversation. And again, like since you have seen them before, you're like, okay, there is something there. Mm-hmm. And he leaves her and
she's negging him. Like she's telling him how, you know, meaningless he is and all this stuff.
But then they make out.
Right. And then he pulls his power over her again.
Yeah. And then he leaves and then we see.
Then she's disgusted at herself for having done. She's like, what's going on here. I thought he was going to claw her eyes out.
Oh,
because then she'd be a Venetian blind.
Get out of here. We should walk around like this meme guys.
Well done. Well done.
We've been waiting the whole episode, man. The whole episode.
The scene ends with that, but then it cuts back to her in the bathtub filled with blood. Mm-hmm. And again,
which is also kind of like the
kind of vampire-ish.
But it's also kind of the flip of after he eats her out.
That's true.
Then he goes underwater and you see the blood on his mouth.
Yeah.
And underwater.
Which was also foreshadowed. A crazy scene. Yeah. Like that.
I just say it was great. As soon as I saw that and I'm like, he's a vampire.
And then, then you find out that Felix actually choked on cum.
Right. Then I was like, well, you know.
Rod Stewart, you know.
Yeah, that's
what?
It's definitely a true story that he had to have his stomach pumped.
Oh, it's
didn't
a Richard.
You guys go to
this
middle
is a Richard
school?
Gere thing. Okay,
I was like, he shared a hospital room with Richard Gere, but he
and Marilyn Manson.
The story, I heard it when I was in middle school, and I'm 15 years older than you are, and it was like he had sucked so much. He had to pump his stomach.
How
all
crazy is it that for you to be like rich and famous and talented, and then something like that starts, and everybody has heard it, like for it to spread that far, and then just never goes away.
And for some reason, it was always Rod Stewart,
always Richard Gere.
And always Richard Gere.
We had the Marilyn Manson stuff when I was.
Well, I know, but that was a different
one.
Bone
removed.
Yeah, he had his ribs taken out so he could suck.
He's heard it. You've heard it, but those things.
Or that he was
the kid from Wonder Years,
or that he had had the color taken out of his retina. Oh. Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
In but he just means that they didn't apply the stomach pumping to a different celebrity.
Newer,
he's saying always Rod Stewart, Gerbil and Richard Gere, the Marilyn Manson thing. It doesn't evolve into like, oh, Kid Cudi had a rib removed.
Right,
you know
what
I mean? It's just like
it's always the same people. Yeah. So,
and I don't know that you know what? We've seen Kid Cudi.
He doesn't need to have a rib
removed.
He doesn't
need to have the rib removed. So
that's also true.
Don't want any libel here.
Right.
Well, maybe people tried to start it, and then people went.
As a matter of fact, Kid Cudi, in order to increase the degree of difficulty, had a rib installed.
Extra rib.
Well, can I get three extra ribs, please?
Yes. His nickname is McRib.
McRib is back.
That's his screen name on his Friendsta.
Friendsta. We did skip over the scene where Oliver literally
Felix is great.
Yeah. Improv'd.
No, it's not. At what moment?
I don't believe it. Yes. I never believe any of this stuff about improvised. I think it's all stories.
Emerald gave him an idea of what his character would be feeling in that moment, whatever. And they, you know, he went and did the scene. He was supposed to be in front of the grave, and he says he just started doing that.
I call bullshit because if he does that on a full set,
yep,
without clearing it,
yep,
somebody's calling HR. There needs to be an intimacy coordinator for the grave.
I think. I think when it comes to like a Judd Apatow flick. And you've got actors who are ad-libbing lines.
Right, yeah.
I'm fine with that, but I don't think for a second that this was where he just starts stripping.
This is a weird art house movie.
It is a weird art. He pegawks a grave.
But you don't really see it. It's not like up close you see a hole in the grave.
You're right. You don't see it because it's shot in a way that you could pegawk a grave and you wouldn't see anything. Why is it filmed? Like, why is it? The shot set up perfectly.
Well, no, it's a wide shot to show him and the grave and the people and the like. It's an establishing shot.
Are you
for the
telling
scene.
Me that there's the woman that made
believe all women? If Emerald,
yes,
says,
but
this is improvised. I believe her, well, Joe.
Did
you see Promising Young Woman?
I know
who's
that's
the monster
very true.
Now.
Yeah.
Joe.
God damn.
All right, so
God
moving on.
Just call you Bo Burnham.
Yeah, Bo.
God. That movie's so good.
It is. I almost want to go back and watch that.
It's so fantastic. So now Venetia's dead, and
do you think he did it, or do you think he?
Oh, I know he did.
Supplied.
It. Oh,
he supplied.
He supplied.
Okay.
He gave her the motivation.
Guess, right. He did.
He put her mind in that place, and then gave her the means.
So manipulative. You know what I mean? He lets them hang themselves. Right. He just plants these little things.
So then the dad. Or then they set up Felix because they give the autopsy results and they find the drugs in Felix's blood and body.
No. Oh.
Yeah, they get the autopsy.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Farley.
And then Oliver sets up Farley. Mm-hmm. This is at the dinner table after, and he's like, Farley had drugs, and they kick Farley out. Yeah. Venetia commits suicide. Then the dad Then the dad's like, what's it going to take to get you out of here?
He's like, I think it's time for you to leave.
Yeah, and he's like, no, I'm not leaving. Like, you're...
And
you're,
he's playing in that very, like... Again,
like oh, this would be such an unfortunate time.
For the mother,
like,
yes.
Yeah, it's like, I can't leave her. He's like...
Oh, that would be bad.
No, you're going to leave. Yeah. Like, and then...
He has to leave to the servants.
He gives an ex... Which I thought was interesting, because all of these people are there, and they're all kind of giving him, like, the stink eye.
Well, they're a different... So they're... They have to smoke and hang out in the servants' quarters, and they're seeing someone. They don't see someone from the upper class ever in their arena. So when they see him leave, and then it's also kind of a thing that like he's getting kicked out and they get to stay there. They're the servants,
right?
And he's beneath them.
Okay. Okay.
Sneaking
that's
through
fair.
The servants' quarters.
I did not realize that those were servants. Like, I thought those were people just like left over from a party.
They were all like butlers.
And I feel like the servants had always kind of seen through him.
Probably.
Yeah. I felt like the butler saw through him from day one.
From Jump Street.
But like, what's he going to say? Like, there's always hangers on here.
No,
like,
I do like
what
when
happens.
He, when he goes, I'd like a full English breakfast, please. And they were like, no, it's right up behind you. How do you want your eggs cooked? And even then he's like, my eggs are a little runny. And the butler's like, oh, fuck off.
And that's also another thing to show. Like, he has no idea, not that we would, he has no idea how this social
status works.
Right? Like, yeah.
Like, what do you got over there? Can I have that too? They're like, no.
He's just so out of his element, which, again, all us watching, we are too.
Yeah.
So
well, then we flash forward a little bit, and he has his money, and he's right. You know, he sees in the paper that the dad has died. And he's at this coffee shop, and then we see Rosamund Pike walk into the coffee shop. And
what a quinky dink!
And I do initially, right? This movie, everything you think.
That's what, yeah.
It, up until the last 10 minutes, you're just like, what the
but
hell?
At
are
this
the chances?
Point, at this point, you probably should be like,
There's definitely
they
a question.
How much money he gets?
They never do.
Or is it just the impression that
it's
like
a lot.
He's set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think because he's got this swanky kind of place, and he's got, you know. So he sees Rosamund Pike, and they have this interaction, and she says, I feel really bad about how things left. And he's like, look, it's not your fault. Like, don't worry about it. We did what we had to do. And then she says, and I've got a place down here. And he's like, weird. I have a place down here too. She's like, you should come back to Saltburn. initially I was like, but didn't you just say that you left Saltburn?
Well, she got another place to escape from it, but she still
like lives. A lot of rich people like that in British world, they have their estates, but they also have a place in the city.
Okay. Cuz
like London's where the action is.
Sure.
So they'll go there but then they'll still have an apartment.
That's fair.
Now I think, and this might be the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life, who knows? If the movie kind of
ended, high bar.
I agree. The movie ended here-ish. Like, if he goes, like, I will come back to Saltburn or something like
right,
that,
yeah.
I would have liked this movie more.
If they left it ambiguous?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to play out
right.
now?
And did he have anything? What? Maybe there could have been, I mean, he would have had a change, but maybe a little more implication that he's involved in all of it before this point.
I don't think they needed the tag on, but I do love the wonder of him and the choreography. I mean, he's very talented to do this dance naked in one shot going all this. And it also shows you how fake he was throughout the movie. This is him. He does have energy, and he's this, like, you never saw Oliver act like this, and now look who he is. Like, he's a total con artist.
It shows
like the real Oliver is like, hey, I'm a crazy guy.
I'm a crazy guy. I'm a crazy weird guy.
I think it's a really cool
fun thing. Yeah. But
it's a great
shot.
I mean, it just
it's very impressive in more ways than one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he goes to Saltburn. He obviously begins this relationship with Rosamund Pike, and we find out
she signed over everything.
We find out that the person that he's been talking to this entire time is Rosamund Pike in a hospital bed, completely incapacitated. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's a real shame that your son died, and then your daughter committed suicide, and then your husband died, and now look at you. And she's like all attached to tubes
and
all this stuff.
And he's blowing smoke in her face. Yeah. Like, you see the real Oliver.
So I initially, again, it's funny, my oldest and I just watched Kill Bill, and she was like, this movie's crazy. Like, you don't even know.
You're like, let's watch Saltburn.
Yeah, just wait. But, you know, I think of that scene with Buck. Mm-hmm. Right, in the hospital bed. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's where we were going here, because he pulls the curtain, not the curtain, but the blanket off, and kind of like wedges himself like in between her thought in between her legs. And I was like, oh God, is he gonna, I mean, at this point,
well, sure,
we find out everything, right? We see that he drugged the wine, he killed Felix, he supplied Venetia with the razor blades to slit her wrists. We don't know what happens to the dad. We assume it could be that he died of regular causes.
I want to go back and see if there's anything
causes
that he set up. But I could also see it being like the long game, and it's like, well, now it's time to swoop in.
Right,
but
and he does. And now he somehow, I'm assuming he does something to Rosamund Pike that puts her into this state.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely, he does.
Yeah, I think that's to be presumed.
He says, he's like, thank you for, you know, like, for inviting me, and he pulls
the tube all the way out of her.
Rough. Yeah. He unhooks her the machines, and he pulls the tube out, and he just lets her die. And that's, we cut, I do like this scene a lot as well, where we see the three graves, and then the fresh grave for Rosamund Pike, and we see the butler.
And we see a little penis hole in each grave. So,
yeah. It's not little, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
That's fair. We see the butler in the distance.
Yeah.
And
he's
still
there.
But he stays there longer than all of them, and Barry, like, I know this guy on the first name basis. Oliver looks at him off in the distance, and then he walks away.
But, you know, the butler now works for him.
Yeah. Right. Correct. He's like, you know what's up, but do you want to keep your gig?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Here, sign this NDA, will you?
Yeah.
And then we get this scene where we get the real Oliver.
Yeah.
And the only time you see Oliver when someone else isn't seeing Oliver.
Yes, we see the real Oliver. And he puts on this song, and he just starts dancing his way through Saltburn, which is now his.
This huge estate, and it's like this one shot that he's dancing, and this choreography, he's spinning around and doing all stuff. It's like a really impressive scene.
It is.
Yeah.
Again, more ways than
one. I mean, more ways than
one. And that's how the movie ends.
And he puts a stone. He's got a stone with the names of each person. He lines them up on this like little puppet show box.
Yeah, which does scare him. Again, was a comedic beat.
Yeah.
When he gets, you know, it's a jump scare. This movie's wild. And it is two different movies.
So I would say he didn't kill the dad.
Why?
Why is that?
Because there are four rocks on that box.
The dad, the mom.
Well, wouldn't it be Venetia? Did I do the math?
He didn't kill the
Farley's
cousin.
Yeah, Farley's not dead.
Okay,
yeah.
Venetia.
Farley's been booted.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, there's there's the.
He said, you're never to step foot back in here again. He's as good as dead, but not dead.
Yeah. The mom, the dad, Oliver.
Two kids.
Okay.
Or Felix and Venetia.
Okay, yeah.
And I think Carey Mulligan does die.
But he doesn't, I don't think, play a role
no.
in that.
No.
Do the sums, Tom. Do the sums.
But no, I don't think she does die. I don't think Felix or Oliver is responsible for Carrie Mulligan's death. I think
no.
Yeah,
she's not part of it.
I took it off. As she was a drug addict, and when she left, she went back to drugs.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Oh man! And then that dark comedy line. Whenever she died, and then she says something like, "Oh, she always was annoying, or she
wanted
was...
attention, or something like that."
Yes,
she'd do anything for attention.
She'd do anything for attention.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my,
yes, that is a. I,
and that shows that you
got
Elsbeth,
me.
Right
that
there.
Got me. Yeah. I was like,
I know, right?
Funny. But
that's how horrible Elsbeth is.
Yeah, yeah. This is. I definitely think this is the best thing I've seen this year.
This is great.
I think it is definitely worth a watch. I'm glad that it is accessible the way that it is, because, like we talked about, in when it comes to something like this, it gets swept under the rug because it's not a tentpole. It's only at the art house theaters.
We've talked about this before. When movies go to the next level, and sometimes they find box office success, like Everything Everywhere All at Once, or there's been some other art house ones that explode. We talk about it. It's like great when an art house movie gets attention like this.
Yeah.
And streaming's another way to do it because everyone has access and social media is the marketing.
You know,
for
it's
it.
Funny. I was listening to something the other day about Sons of the Lambs. Do you know when that movie came out?
1991.
Yeah, but when?
Oh, what time of year?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So February, it came out on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
But the fact, we talked about how things get released super early in the year.
Right.
And they
get
forgotten about.
Yeah.
Not Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Like that thing raked up at the Oscars in 91. But I just find that very interesting that stuck around.
I've seen memes that are like Valentine's Day cards with Anthony Hopkins on them.
Yeah.
And I think that's
this Valentine's Day, we get to see Madam Web.
Oh, okay. When you mentioned Dakota Johnson earlier, it reminded me. You're back.
I'm in for
you're
that.
Back. Come on back.
I would love to.
Come on back.
That's my kind of bad movie. Now, hey, I will say, and I'm not saying that like the director did this to like get more people to watch or write or whatever. I do think the ending definitely made it where when normies watch it, they're going to like it better. They're going to recommend
it mainstreams it a little bit
and again I don't want to say that that's like a choice that they made for that purpose necessarily
or even a bad choice. Like I get you want people
you're right, because I
audiences leave a movie on a bad note, they don't always like it. Like they sometimes like that was a bad movie because it didn't have a happy ending, it didn't wrap up nicely,
it didn't put a button on it,
and you want people to talk about it afterwards. And you're right,
and if it ended in that cafe with maybe some minor changes, whatever, I think I would have liked it more, but I understand that
fewer people
I maybe never would have seen it, right? Like I maybe never would have heard about see it if it didn't have this kind of wrapped up ending. And there's still stuff to talk about and ruminate on and think about. But I do feel like it kind of took some of that away.
And that leads me to the other thing. When Jacob Elordi hosted SNL.
Oh, man.
He's so bad.
Yeah.
It's real bad. It's really bad. And the only skits that are even kind of funny, the rest of the cast is carrying the entire thing. He's a talented actor. He is good in this movie. But what I mean is they got him because he's popular on TikTok, which is kind of like what you said. It's like, it made for a bad episode of SNL, but you got to think of the business of it. Now more people are watching Saltburn.
It's the reason Logan Paul is the U.S. champion in the WWE right now.
Right. How do we bring in...
But also with SNL, you never know who's going to end up working.
That's true.
Well, on that show.
And like, but like Elon
that's kind
Musk,
of the fun of it.
That's
no, for sure. But
I, it's just a,
yeah.
But I mean, you'd think
but
someone...
But sometimes you get people like that and they end up being really good.
Sure.
You know?
But like someone might have known he didn't have like improv comedy skills.
But if you're, if they knew that Justin Timberlake was going to be as good on SNL as he is...
Yeah. I mean, there was rumors for a while that he was going to take a year off of music and just do a season.
Are you serious?
There was rumors back then of like, make him a cast member for a year.
He's really good.
He's really
good. He's always really good.
Was he just on?
He was just on. He was a musical guest last night.
Did he do skits?
Dakota Johnson.
Did he do something?
Yes, with Fallon.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So they came back for
Jimmy,
they did
Andy
or?
Gibbs and the, the Gibbs brothers.
Nice.
Yeah. I would have rather seen the mascot thing.
Same. Yeah, very much.
Those were great.
Those were
so much better than Andy Gibbs stuff.
Yeah.
I always hated those sketches. But anyway,
I
guess
big Bee Gees fan.
That's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
Matt?
Listen.
He doesn't want your pity.
Keep out of my business. Don't look for me. I will say
we have a new Patreon to promote.
I will say we're bringing back the horror podcast.
You're damn right we are.
After two more episodes,
we took a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I've had some stuff going on.
We took a break, but Real Spoilers Patreon, the horror podcast, the horror movie podcast is coming back with Captain America. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Thor is on there now. It just dropped.
Yeah, we got a guest lined up for that one, Joe.
We do.
Correct?
Yeah. Chris Evans will be there.
Well, I thought let's keep it a secret.
Some people do confuse the two of us, but yeah, go on.
A secret who the next guest is. So you can catch me on Real Spoilers Patreon, but other than that, I don't want you around. I don't want you looking in my business.
Not even your screen printing business?
That one, maybe. I'm taking too much time.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21. Also on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And I have to pee, so Bob bleeds from his eyes. I'm out.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.